Hi, everyone. I'm Mike Amerlon, a product marketing manager on the Office ecosystem today, system team. And today, I want to talk to you a little bit about creating awesome bots, connectors, and tabs inside of Microsoft Teams. Now, bringing your web apps to Microsoft Teams is something you can do today in a variety of different ways that we'll see throughout this presentation. But the really cool thing is that Microsoft Teams is just a sample of, you know, the kinds of ways that you can bring your web applications, integrate them with productivity services, Office 365, and, you know, really get to bring your application to where work gets done. So we'll be talking about Teams today. You'll see a lot of the techniques that we have for Microsoft Teams really will apply to almost anything that you're going to do across Office. So let's get started. Okay, so what we're going to do today is cover Microsoft Teams. So Microsoft Teams has been in developer preview since November of last year. And since then, and since day one, we've had this developer platform inside of Microsoft Teams. It's been iterated upon since then. And you can integrate really interesting things inside of Microsoft Teams that we'll talk about. We'll talk about tabs, which are web pages that you can embed inside of Teams, connectors, which is a way to inject content into conversations, and bots as well, which is a way to have a more interactive type of conversation hosted inside of Teams. Now, again, let me back up and talk a little bit about the Office developer platform. Office has a number of ways that you can bring your web applications and integrate with Office. If you're an organization where you've got Office 365 and there's tens of millions that do, there's a number of ways to pull in data from Office 365 and also present it. So, for example, not just Teams, but across Excel and PowerPoint and Outlook, we have a concept of add-ins, which is ways to embed and link to web applications from right within inside the applications across mobile and macOS and Windows and web as well. For SharePoint, for example, we have the similar concept, the concept of web parts, which is a way to integrate with the user interface of SharePoint, either through iframes that are hosted on your server or through JavaScript in the SharePoint framework as well. Our goal is really to make it possible to bring the web into Office and extend it everywhere where work gets done. Now, as I mentioned, we also have a set of APIs for actually pulling in content from Office. So if you're building a mobile application, maybe a business app that you have, you can pull in through Microsoft Graph any kind of data that you have inside of Office 365. So things like users and files and calendars and contacts. A lot of different types of data are available for you to pull into your applications. If you're building any kind of application for an organization or a company and you're using Office 365, it's really the API you want to take a look at and integrate into your applications. That's Microsoft Graph. And then finally, we're pioneering a number of new form factors for working with customers wherever they may be. So if you're on the road and you're using Skype, there's voice-based communication. If you're doing chats and you want to inject content to keep people up to speed on what's going on, there's connectors. Video, of course, is a very important tool that a lot of companies want to use to train or to reach out. I mean, you're watching me on video, so it's a very important part of the platform as well. And then finally, we have bots, which is sort of this new generation of interactivity where you can sort of talk to a bot, you can interact with them using natural language, and get to a targeted response or a targeted action very, very, very quickly. So across the board, there's just a number of opportunities to bring your applications into Office, and what we'll see, again, through Teams today is really just one great example of that. Now, philosophically, with the Office platform, where we really want to go is to try to make it possible so that if you're a web developer and you're building with Angular or you're writing with React or you're using TypeScript, however you want to build web applications, you can build them and then bring them into Office. In other words, if you're a web developer, you're also an Office developer. So we've focused on, for example, with the SharePoint framework, making it possible to use your frameworks of your choice, have a tool chain that uses Gulp and other sort of open source tools that you're, you know, likely familiar with, bring all that stuff into SharePoint, and then, you know, build a really, you know, responsive, engaging web part inside of it. And the same thing with the other Office applications as well, whether it's Outlook or Excel, use modern web dev technologies to bring it into inside of Office. We're also working to be more cross-platform. So, of course, Office is available on macOS. It's available on mobile devices as well. And so we're working and continue to work on ways to bring these add-ins and these web extensions and web parts onto iOS and onto Android and onto Windows desktop applications as well. So across the board, you know, trying to be as consistent with the developer tools and techniques that you're aware of to make it possible to quickly build your applications in. And I hope that's one of the takeaways that you know, maybe you come away from this with is, you know, with a little bit of metadata, a little bit of creation of some registration packages, you can otherwise take a lot of the web applications, you know, bring them into Microsoft Teams and have a great experience. And then finally, we have distribution channels. So Office has a store where you can actually register your applications. You can get them out to users. Users can discover them and sort of bring them straight into Outlook. So there's a number of ways that people can actually discover and engage with your application as well, above and beyond sort of you working with them specifically to deploy your application. So there's a number of tools there. So with that, that's the broader landscape of Office. Let's go take a look at Teams. Now, Teams is really awesome. It's also a great example of the kinds of extensibility that we have across Office. Okay, so Microsoft Teams, as I mentioned, went into preview on November 2nd. So it's available for anyone who has Office 365, a number of different types of tenancies, and can get started with Microsoft Teams today. Now, it's in preview, so your administrator will need to go into their administration console and sort of enable Teams so that you can get to it. But you can do that and get started with it. The other thing we have is if you go to dev.office.com, we have a developer program. And through that developer program, you can get your own developer tenancy so that you can, you know, do your own development, you can play with Teams yourself, you can get started with developing, all within your own tenancy so you don't have to go bug an administrator. So it's a really great tool that, you know, you should definitely take advantage of if you're looking to go build applications on top of Office or Teams or any type of surface that you're looking to do with Office 365. Now, Teams itself, it really focuses on, you know, chat-based productivity. So a lot of teams, you know, probably your team, does a lot of their developer work, and it's really important to have this very tight loop with all the people that you're working with. You know, you don't want to spend a lot of time sort of trying to address mails and make sure that the right people are on the CC line and all those kinds of things. And so when you can get your entire team into a chat-based workspace and everyone's just living there, so to speak, you just get this next level of productivity where everyone can see what's going on, you know, people can respond in real time, and it's a really great experience. If you've ever been able to sort of have your entire team live inside of a chat-based experience, it's really great. But it's more than just chat. It's actually, Teams is a surface for bringing in lots of content right in line with those conversations so that taking actions and getting the right information is always close at hand. And so as we'll see, you can actually extend Teams to really make it a place where you could live all day in, so to speak, as you get your job done, as you work with your developer teams, as you work with your engineering friends or marketing friends, you can use Teams to sort of keep in touch and keep everyone in the loop. You know, Teams itself also has a number of facilities like integrated video and chat and calendaring. So as I mentioned, it's really kind of this one-stop shop. And then finally, from day one, Teams has a desktop application, there's a web application, mobile apps, so it's really available across all platforms. So if you haven't had a chance to check out Teams, definitely do so. We'll take a look through it. Hopefully you'll be pretty excited to go build some extensions. Let's go take a look. So I'm going to go switch over to Teams right now. And what you can see here is, you know, my Teams workspace. So, all right, let's go do this. Let me just adjust this real quick. Okay. All right. Okay. So, all right. Let me go over to Microsoft Teams. Okay, and so here we have a fictitious company, Contoso Bicycles. And so we do a lot of things. We make bikes, we market bikes, we sell bikes. And let's say for a moment that I work on the bike rental team. And so I want to use Teams to go start a space for my team. So adding that team is as simple as just saying add team, and I can create that team there. And so in this case, we're going to call it Contoso Bike Rentals, like so. And I'm going to call this Rentals. Like so. And so, you know, with just a couple clicks, I've got my team space that's ready to go. Now, the next thing I can do is just go invite some people. So I'm going to go invite Jasmine onto my team. Of course, Jasmine can go request access. And behind the scenes, what's actually doing here is creating a group. So a group is this security concept that works across a lot of Office applications. So things like, you know, Outlook has a concept of groups. And so these groups can be used for security purposes. They can be used to sort of channel conversations. And Teams uses that concept as well. Okay, so we've got our Contoso Bike Rentals channel here. And within it, we have this general conversation channel that I can get started with. Now, to start with, I have conversations. I can say hello, of course. I can, you know, embed, you know, GIFs and emojis and all kinds of cool things to have a very rich conversation, like so. But in addition, I can also go to files, and I can actually share files with the rest of my team. So if I wanted to upload things, if I wanted to add more content, I could just do it here. And again, this is actually backed by SharePoint, so you get all the governance and capabilities of SharePoint. I can also do things like add custom tabs to my channel. So for example, if I wanted to go ahead and maybe add a YouTube video that I think is really inspirational, I can do that. This is the launch event YouTube video, and I can add that as a separate tab inside of my team. So I can bring in all the tools that I need to sort of be productive and get started. So you can see that there's a lot of capabilities here for pulling things in. You can see meetings on the left-hand side for hosting more communications, but it's really a great tool to get started and to do all of your work throughout your day inside of Teams. And you can see my chats and those kinds of things as well. So that's a little bit of a foundation of Teams. And again, where possible, it's definitely a great idea to go ahead and whether it's through your company's Office 365 tenancy or whether it's something that you get, go ahead and get started and start working with Teams. Okay, so let's talk a bit about how you can extend Teams now. So there's three main avenues for extending Teams. It starts with tabs. So tabs is a way that you can actually embed web pages in, and you saw, for example, the YouTube channel is a great case in point, but we also have connectors as well for actually pulling in content and notifications inside of your team channel. Then finally, we also have a concept of bots. So bots are ways to have a two-way conversation with various sort of automated entities. So they provide a natural language interface that you'll see for working with Teams. Now, to extend Teams, you can see that there's already a number of partners that are offering things like connectors and tabs that integrate in with Microsoft Teams. Maybe they're offering bots as well. So, even since November, there's a really big start towards, a lot of companies, integrating the types of things that, maybe you work with as a developer, whether it's your continuous integration system or whether it's your support desk through maybe something like Zendesk or what have you. There's a lot of tools already. So if nothing else, maybe you also might want to take a look at all the various partners that are integrating various things inside of Teams as a source of inspiration or as a tool for your project as well. So drilling in a little bit more detail, there is the concept of tabs. So tabs are essentially web pages that you're going to integrate in with Teams. You're going to register them with a simple sort of manifest file. But otherwise, you have the power of the web to extend Teams. Now, you can use this for things like dashboards or maybe details. So for example, maybe your team is talking about a support incident and you want to have a link from that support incident to more details about them. You can use a tab to host that information. Again, think of that YouTube video that I just showed you as well as a great case in point of a team. Now, the other thing you can do is now, as of about a couple weeks ago, you can also deep link between them. So you can have a conversation about a task and then use that to link off into your tab and get more information about it. Another extension point is this concept of connectors. So connectors is a way, as I mentioned, to push more information into your team conversations. And there's a number of different card styles and details that you can add in there to really provide the right information at the right time about what's going on. So for example, there's a Trello card here where, as people update information about their tasks, you can see, what it would look like inside of your team where the conversation is happening. And of course, have a link back to the actual Trello details so that you can find out more information about it. And then finally, we have bots. So bots is a way to have two-way conversations. Sometimes you might be working in an environment where you want to just issue a quick command or issue a quick question and get a response back. And so there's a way to have bots. And this leverages the bot framework that we're developing across Microsoft. So it's one technology that you can use not just in Teams, but also in Skype and across a number of other different services. So Teams leverages the same bot infrastructure that you may have already been working with. You can bring them into Teams as well. The same thing for connectors, by the way. Connectors can also integrate with Office 365 groups as well. So again, build one technology, you can incorporate it in a number of different places. Now for bots, you can not just use it for finding and querying data, but you can also use it to kick off workflows or initiate surveys and have them inside of your channels. Okay, so that's the whirlwind tour of Microsoft Teams and some of the ways that you can extend it. So with that, let's go get started building and writing some code to do this. Okay, so this content is hosted on github.com/officedev/training content. And there's a subfolder called Teams, and so you'll find the training that I'm going to be using within that folder. So if you want to work with this later, you can go get started with that content and maybe even follow along, although I'll probably be going a little bit quickly. One quick note, we're actually updating the user experience of adding sort of custom extensions into Teams as we speak. So if you're following along, the instructions might not be completely up to date in terms of how you actually register, for example, a tab. I'll be covering the newer method in my session, but in my technical drill down in just a second. But just be aware that the instructions are a little bit out of date because we're making lots of fast-breaking changes as we improve on the preview of Microsoft Teams. Okay, so with that, let's go ahead and get started. So I'm in Visual Studio 2017, and what I have here is basically my Visual Studio window. So let me go ahead and focus on that. Okay, let me just go duplicate that.
Switch to duplicate.
Yep. Okay, so now I'm in duplicate mode, and now I'm going to go ahead and get started. Okay. All right. So I've got Visual Studio 2017 here, and what I'm going to do is create a new web project, because we're going to build a web application that can do that. Okay, so I'll go to web, and I'm going to choose a ASP.NET web application, .NET framework, fairly standard thing. We'll choose an empty project, and away we go. Now, the first thing you're going to want to do is have a configuration experience. If you remember when I added my YouTube video, one of the things I actually did was, of course, you have to paste in a link to a YouTube video to actually know what to show inside the tab. So that's called the configuration experience. So let me just show you that one more time. Select YouTube, and you can see that there's a space to paste in a link. Now, depending on what your tab's going to do, you're going to want your own configuration experience. Now, in this case, for us, we're going to just want something that's fairly basic. We don't need to add a complex configuration experience. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to add a web page called configuration.html, like so. Okay, so now I've got my simple standard page. And what I'm going to do here is just paste in some script. So what this is going to do is a few things. First, it's going to pull in the standard Microsoft Teams library that you can see. Then what it'll do is it'll call microsoftteams.initialize to initialize the Microsoft Teams infrastructure. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to register a save handler. So this is what's going to happen when the user presses save inside of their configuration experience. And what I'll do is just simply update the entity ID. We're building a bike sharing application here to make it possible for people who want to do this bike rental service to check out bikes and know what's available through their inventory. I'm going to basically just say, here's where you can go grab the URL. It's going to be an Azure website and just a little bit of details about it. So that's my basic configuration experience. Next, I'm going to actually add my web page, the main user interface of my tab. So I'm going to call this index.html. And so here I'll just say, hello, Teams. It's a great application, really quite simple. Let me go bump up the zoom just real quick, and away we go. Okay, so this is my application. I'm going to save everything, and then I'm going to go publish this to Azure so that there's one consistent place where it can be found. You can do it debugging through localhost as well. I'm going to just do it live and publish straight from the get-go from my application. So I'm going to import my profile and go ahead and publish, and that's going to go into Azure. Now, let's go back and register this tab that I've just created inside of Microsoft Teams. Now, to do that, here's my application, Hello Teams. You can see it's just a standard website, and so a lot of the sort of standard techniques for developing it sort of will apply. Now, what I have here is actually my package definition. So what you see is a manifest.json file. And the manifest.json file, you can find more information about this on our developer documentation on dev.office.com/Microsoft-Teams. You can find more information about this manifest. But what you can see in a brief nutshell is that I declare some version information, the version of my manifest, the URLs I'm going to use for privacy and terms of use. I haven't built them yet, but I will. I have a number of things like an identifier for my tab, the name of my application, a description. There's some links to some icons that I've already published up to my Azure website for different sizes. And here's my link to my configuration.html that's going to be used to configure it. And then finally, a little bit about some valid domains I'm going to be using that get registered with the application as well. Now I'm going to go ahead and zip this up. So I'll send it to a WinZip package. We'll just call this bike sharing tab.zip, and away I go. Okay, now let's go back to Microsoft Teams. To actually go and register my tab, what I'll do is I will go in and go to View Team, and there's a Bots tab here at the end. Now again, this experience might be slightly different depending on, you know, how our latest preview bits have rolled out. You might see something a little different here. You'll see a developer experience. But in this case, with a newer experience, there's a sideload a bot or tab link at the bottom. And so I will go into that package folder that we just created our zip file with, and I will go click bike sharing tab. Before I do that, let's just make sure that this published successfully. Yes, it did. Okay, so my application is ready to go. Okay, so now this is going to come into Microsoft Teams, and what you can see is now it's registered. It pulled in my little icon here, and so I'm going to go back into my communication channel. I'm going to go hit the tabs, the Add New Tab button, and you can see that my Contoso bike sharing application is now listed along with all the other tabs that are available for users to use, and I will go click Contoso. It's going to ask me if I give it permission. I'll click Accept. Now, this is my configuration experience. As you saw, we don't have much of a configuration experience yet, so this page is empty. But again, you can do more cool things here to configure URLs or to configure data that you want to set up your tab. I'm just going to hit save, and now my tab is ready to go. And as you see, my very simple, plain web page that just says Hello Teams is now available and ready for use. Now, of course, this really isn't quite interesting at all. It's just Hello World. So the next thing we want to do is actually pull in some bike information and some data into our tab. Now, what I'm going to do for this is actually go ahead and use something called Microsoft Graph. Now, if you're not familiar, Microsoft Graph is really this one API surface for getting at all kinds of data inside of Office 365, whether it's just about you, the user, whether it's about the groups that you're in that you maybe just created through Teams and what's the list of users inside of them. It's messages, it's, you know, your files and your sharing. It's all kinds of bits of data inside of Microsoft Graph. And it also works like a graph too, which is to say you can actually traverse it through REST endpoints. So you can start with me, you can find out who my manager is, you can find out the set of files that they're working with, then you can find out who modified those files, and then go, you know, keep going through the graph to find the information that you need. And so, you know, basically, any type of organizational application that you're ever going to build can really benefit from pulling in data from Microsoft Graph if you're using Office 365, because there's such key information about things like, you know, is this user who I'm about to send a notification to, are they out of the office? Well, go use Microsoft Graph to ask that question, and from there you can go ahead and, you know, build a better application that's smarter and won't send notifications to people who might not be in the office. There's all kinds of scenarios for pulling in Microsoft Graph to your application. The other nice thing about Graph is that we have this concept of insights. So we actually have intelligence that's built on top of the data inside of Office 365. Things like, who am I working with? Not just who is my boss, but who am I working with on a day-to-day basis? Who's reviewing my files? You know, within the bounds of completely respecting the privacy of an organization, we provide ways to, get sort of an aggregate view of the kinds of people that I'm working with inside of my organization, and we expose that through the APIs for you. And it also works for some personal data as well, things like OneDrive. So really, it's this one endpoint at graph.microsoft.com that really unifies a lot of these concepts. Okay, so that's a little bit of my diversion into talking about Microsoft Graph. We're going to use Microsoft Graph to make our Teams tab better. Okay, so let's come back into our code, and let me bug back out of PowerPoint. Okay. All right, so here we are. So we've got our index.html here, and I'm going to go ahead and get started with building out an application using Microsoft Graph. Now, in order to do that, the first step is really just registering my application with Azure Active Directory. And so I'm going to use Azure to do this. I'm going to use my Azure portal, but you can also use a separate portal that's available even if you don't have Azure to register your application. So I'm going to go to App Registrations, and I'm going to create a new application called Bike Sharing for Teams, or something like that. And I'm going to go and paste in the URL to my application. That's going to be my sign-on URL, and we'll create that. Now, think of an application registration as really just a kind of a user that's inside of your Azure Active Directory. And like a user, you're going to give it some permissions. You're going to define some metadata about it. And then when your application will run, it will run with the permissions that this administrator has given to the application. So for bike sharing for Teams, I'm going to go manage this. I'm going to go give it some explicit permissions. So in my case, I don't want to grant permissions yet. What I'll do is I'll register the kinds of permissions that this application is going to want to use with Microsoft Graph, like so. And then I'll select the permissions that I'm interested in. And so what we really want to do is read some data from a SharePoint site, which has our documents and our inventory for bicycles that we want to share out. So I'm going to go select. I think it's a little bit lower. Let's see. Oh, read items in site collections and sign users in. So those are the two permissions that you would need if you want to go make some SharePoint-based Microsoft Graph calls. But you can see, here's all the goodies, if you will, that are inside of Microsoft Graph that you can use. So I'm going to go select those two permissions. And then what I will do is I will go grant those permissions to the application. So step one was saying, here's the kind of permissions that I need. And then step two is, let's click done. Oops. There we go. Let me do that one more time. Let me go grant those permissions. Okay, so now I've granted this application registration some permissions. Now the other thing I want to do is, because I actually want to access this through script, what I want to do here is also make sure that it supports OAuth2 implicit flows. So to do that, I have to edit the manifest more specifically. There's no, kind of super convenient, switch for this yet. I have to change this OAuth implicit flow property from false to true if I want to use it from, scripting type languages that I'm going to be using inside of my tab. So now I'm going to hit save. Okay, so this application is ready to go. So let's go start to use this thing. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is, go, add in some links to some scripts. So I'll paste in some links to some scripts at the top. You can see that I'm going to pull in Office UI Fabric, which is a way to bring in some new controls and some CSS to make the user experience consistent with Office and with Teams. I've got my own CSS file. I'm using jQuery. I'm pulling in the Microsoft Teams SDK, and I'm also using a library called ADAL, which is a way to do sign into Azure Active Directory so that I can get a token so that I can use it with Microsoft Teams and Microsoft Graph and pull that in as well. So let's just call this bike sharing. And then I'm going to go replace the body with more of a layout, really. So you can see that I'm defining my user experience here. You can see that I'm defining it just basically the layout of my application. There's a bit of a sign-in experience up top. I've got a section for pulling in documents called advisories and notices. And then I've got also a section for actually showing the inventory that I'm going to dynamically populate that when I get data from Microsoft Teams. So this is really just the layout of my application. Let me go and add a CSS file. Oops. Let me go add a CSS file as well. Let's call this main.css. Okay, and I'm going to paste in a lot of CSS here. Oops. Okay, so this is just a lot of CSS that's going to do all the work to lay it out. It's just standard CSS, nothing too interesting here. And then I'm going to add the JavaScript, which is where most of my logic will come from. So let's add that JavaScript file, main.js, like so. And then let's paste in and walk through some of that script. Now, at the top of the script, I actually have some configuration that I'm going to do. And so you can see that it's wired to this tenancy that I have that I'm doing my development on, mikeam.onmicrosoft.com. But I can also just need to also pull in my application ID. So this is the application ID that we just created, my bike sharing for Teams. The ADAL code needs to know this so that it can know like which account are we signing in as and how, what are the permissions that are available to us. So I'll just paste that in here. So I'm just going to go say this. I'll go explain the code in just a little bit, but I wanted to show you what this does first so that you have a frame for what it's going to look like. Okay, so I will now publish this straight to Azure. Again, not even bothering to debug it locally, just do it live and get it out there. So it's going to go up to Azure. It's going to succeed. You can see a little bit of the Chrome. We've got this daring blue and yellow style, which everyone loves. And I'll come back to my Teams application. So now I'm going to just switch out of the tab and then come back into the bike sharing tab, which will refresh it. Now you'll see that there's a login dialog up top. I'm going to go log in real quick just so that it has my account and now I'm signed in. And now that it's signed in, what it'll do is it'll call out to SharePoint. It's pulled in some documents that are in a SharePoint document library up top. And then there's a set of bicycles that are stored inside of a SharePoint list down bottom. So you can see that it's in my Office 365 tenancy. So yeah, you can see that kind of content. I can show you it in SharePoint in a little bit. Okay, so this is my tab. It's pulling in relevant information. We're on the rental team. We need to know inventory. We need to know the latest notices. It's here. It's present. It's available right where my team is working. Let's take a look at what the code behind the scenes does. So this is all really, as you've seen, manifested inside of the JavaScript. So if I go to main.js, you can see that I've got some configuration up here. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is basically establish this authentication context object that came from that ADAL library that will do the work to authenticate me against the Azure Active Directory. What I'm going to do is do a little bit of this sort of if I'm logged in, just continue and sort of execute more code. If I'm not logged in or if we're in an error state, then do some work to actually show that we're in an error state, show a failure, those kinds of things. And then, if everything is fine and we're all logged in, let's go initialize the page. Now from here, what I'll do is I'll get the current user, which I can get from that auth context object from ADAL. And so you can see that that's where we're going to put the name up in the upper right-hand corner to show who's signed in. And then what we'll do is we'll set this graph token that we've gotten as a result of lining in. So this graph token that we get from the authentication process, we're going to use that to make outbound REST calls against the graph endpoints. Doing a little bit more authentication here, showing the dialog if we need to. Let's go a little bit further down, some logout and login type of infrastructure, some user interface cleanup. But let me go take you to a section where we're going to actually go work with it. So what we'll do is we'll get that token that comes from having signed in. We're going to get the identifier of the site that we're working with, the SharePoint site. And then what we also have defined in our configuration is the path to a document library where all the documents are being hosted. And so what we'll do is we'll just make an outbound AJAX request. You can, of course, use whatever web request library you'd like to use. I'm going to put in the graph token that we have. I'm going to say that we're working with JSON, so it's really just standard REST API 101. And from there, what I'll do is I'll just update and add more chunks of content based on the JSON response that I get back from my graph APIs. So really, we're just getting a simple outbound JSON request. We're getting it back in. Hopefully what you see from this is the hard part is really just getting your application registration all set up. But the actual script itself is just really simple REST that we're working with. There's a similar API for actually getting at the set of bikes. And again, in a similar way, I'm going to go to a SharePoint list. I'm going to pull in the list items that I have inside of that list. And then I'll just loop through and go add that CSS. The HTML content in here. And I just use plain old HTML and JavaScript. Obviously, if you wanted to use Angular or React or however you want to work with it, it's just web development, so you can use whatever technology works for you. Okay, so that was really just a very brief overview of building a tab inside of Microsoft Teams. You can see that really it's kind of just a web page, but you can do everything that a web page can do, including working with Microsoft Graph inside of Microsoft Teams. Okay, so now let's do some more work to actually pull in some dynamic content into Teams, and we're going to do that through a connector. So a connector is basically just a way to push content in. You can specify just a simple text message. You can specify a more complicated card. It's really up to you how you want to go do that. So to start with, what we'll do is we will go and add a new HTTP handler into our project, and we're going to call that connector.ashx. So here I'll just pick a simple generic handler. We're going to call it connector.ashx as well. And so this is really going to be the API that our JavaScript calls into to go send a connector message into Microsoft Teams. Now, what I want to do is basically add a user interface inside of my tab, which is going to do the thing to kick off that connector. So when I go check out a bike, I want to have a button that says notify everyone that I've checked out this bike so people know that this bike is now gone. It's away from the inventory. So I'm going to come to this HTML content here. I'm going to go paste in a little bit of markup here that's going to call Notify Connector. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into my JavaScript file and go find my bike action. I'm going to go find that function. Let's see, it's right here. And we'll replace it with some code that I'll go into. Okay, so what this code does here is basically just says when a bike is checked out, show a new button called Notify Connector, which is visible to users that they can push to go notify everyone that the bike is checked out. The real magic happens here inside of Notify Connector, where when that button gets pushed, it's going to generate a JSON message object with, you know, some details on the bike that was actually checked out and that was, you know, now reserved. Things like the picture, things like its title and its serial number. And it's going to go send that message to that connector ASHX that I just built. And this function right here, you can see it's just a very simple, just AJAX and, you know, outbound XML HTTP web request type of operation. Excuse me. Okay. So now let's actually add some code inside of our connector.ashx to do this. So I'm going to go view the markup. And what I'll do is, let me go paste in the markup. Okay, so let's just take a look at this connector. You can see how easy it is to actually go create a connector. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take that inbound web request. I'm going to get some app settings about where the incoming webhook URL is, and we'll talk about that in just a second. And then I'm going to go send that message basically, you know, in a form back out to, you know, the entry point inside of Teams where we can let it know about some new inbound content. So this is really just a JSON request. Now, in this case, I'm really doing a bad thing. You should do more to validate your inputs and make sure it's secure, of course. For the sake of simplicity, I'm just passing a lot of this content through, but you know, you definitely want to think through that through in terms of how that works. Now, the one thing I do want to do is add a reference to system.net.http so that my outbound web request works, like so. And let's see. Okay, and let's just make sure that it's copied local so it deploys. Okay, so this is my connector. Now, I've built the connector. Now, how do I actually go ahead and register that inside of Microsoft Teams? Well, with Microsoft Teams, it's still in preview. So we're still working on more ways to sort of register your applications with Teams, you know, have them available and discoverable by users. But in the short term, there's some ways that as a developer you can get started with to, you know, short circuit some of the processes that will be there in the future when we have more facilities for discovering connectors. So for now, you know, if you're developing, if you're experimenting with Teams, the way to add a connector is to use something called the incoming webhook connector. So let me show you how that works. I'm going to go select connectors from my channel. And what I'll do here is pick the incoming webhook connector. Let's go do that. Try that again. Okay. So let's go. So you can see the incoming webhook connector here. Now, the way this works is what it'll do is it will do the work on your behalf to sort of, you know, give you a URL that you can call into, essentially a webhook from the Teams perspective that your service can call into to go, you know, send content. So let me just add this, and we'll call this, you know, inventory notifications. And, you know, you can change the image if you so choose, and I will click create. Oops, I spelled it wrong. Oops. All right. Okay, so what we get from this is a URL that we can use to go send messages. So I'm going to go copy this. Now, coming back to my web application project, you know, we're going to need to know this URL so that we know where to send these requests. And so I'm going to come into connector.ashx here. I'm going to come into web.config. And let's see. Like so. There's an app setting that this application uses to host this. Copy that URL from Teams. Okay, so this is how we basically know which URL to call when. Let me go put that a level up, put it in the wrong place. Excuse me. Thanks to Visual Studio 2017 IntelliSense, I can know when I'm putting things in the wrong place, which is pretty nice. And so now I've got my incoming webhook that I've registered. Okay, so now I should be good to go. I've got my connector in place. Let me go view the markup version of that, where the real work gets done. Let's go build this, just to make sure everything is fine. like so, and then we're going to go publish this out. So again, we have our endpoint is available on our site that is being used. Okay. All right, so let's go back to Teams. And I'm going to go back to my tab. Oh, let me click done. Like so. Okay, so now this connector has been added. Okay, now I'm going to come back into bike sharing. And it's going to go log me in, and it will show you the list of, you know, bikes and documents that are sort of interesting and relevant. Now, in this case, I'll go click on my bicycle, and you can see that there's a button here in this great user experience for checking out the bicycle. And there's this new button that we've added called Notify Connector. And when I push this, what should happen is it will go outbound to my connector ASHX, and you should see a message that will come in from that. Let's see. Try that again. Okay, let's see. That hasn't quite worked. Let's go see why that might be. First, let me just do this one more time. Let me delete this code behind that we're not using. Let's go. Let's just check this out really briefly, see if we can identify what the issue is. Use Visual Studio debugging tools and debugging tools in Azure to go figure out where things are going wrong. Let's see. Like so. Okay, and this will probably give me an error because it doesn't have the right context. Okay, let's just try publishing this one more time. Okay. Connector. Okay. And we're going to come back into Teams, and we will go ahead and find our bicycle, select that, check out, select Notify Connector, like so, and yeah, let's see. All right, let me just take one quick last pass through this code just to see if we can identify it. Let me go select just a different application. So this is sort of just a different application. You can see that the message that comes in here, it has the detail card. It says, you know, here's the bicycle that was checked in, and here's how it works. So you can see very quickly how this connector, you know, can provide really interesting and useful information. Let me try this one. So. All right, and so those are the kinds of conversations that are coming out. Yeah, now it's coming in. Okay, maybe it was a little bit delayed. You can see that you know, my misspelled inventory notifications. You know, now those connector notifications are coming in. Maybe my Azure was a little, you know, maybe it was, you know, spooling up for the first time. So it actually all did work. It just was a little bit delayed. Cool. All right. So that's a little bit about connectors. Again, notifying teams at the right time about how you can go, you know, show more detailed information about things that are happening inside of your organization. Again, really critical if you're living inside of Teams, which I think is a really great way to work. Absolutely. Okay, so then finally, let's talk a little bit about bots. So bots are a way to have kind of this two-way conversation between, you know, an entity where you can ask it questions, it can give you status. Again, works with not only Teams, but also Skype and other applications as well. Now, to build this bot, I'm just going to go start with a new project. There is a template you can download for Visual Studio 2017 that has the bot, you know, lets you create a bot application. It's really quite easy. I'm going to start with my bot application here, like so. And what you can really see is a bot, you know, think of a bot as really it's just a web service that you're hosting that, you know, serves and sort of operates the interactions between the person who's making their natural language queries in the language of their choice, and you know, your web service basically has to parse through that, provide a response, and go from there. So when I create my default bot, what you can see here is that there's something called Messages Controller. And Messages Controller really has the content that you know, we're going to be handling. So in a nutshell, what you can see what it's doing is it's going to take the incoming text from this activity. It's going to do just a simple length check, and it's going to return a response that says the length of the text that you passed in was certain characters. So this is really just a hello world type of bot application. Now, there's all kinds of libraries. Lewis is one that you can use, for example, to help you with the parsing of natural language and to simplify the process for it. In the case of this example, I'm just going to do some very simple, you know, text string parsing, which, you know, is good for a demo, but you should definitely check out the libraries to help you with all the natural language processing that you're going to want to do inside of your bot. Now, in this case, what we'll do is we'll just go publish it straight away so that you can access it. So I'm going to go import profile. I'm going to go select a different Azure site that I've already created, just a standard Azure app service that's going to go host our application. And so this is going to go up there. Now, the next step that we're going to want to do is we're going to run and register this bot so that it can go ahead and be available to apps like Teams. So, you know, by default, it's going to take me to this website. The website has a handy-dandy link to the bot framework where I can go and register it. So I will go ahead and register this. We're going to call this inventory checker 2. And I'm going to call it inventory checker, like so. Checks inventory. Of course, I can get fancy with the icon if I so choose. And a little bit lower, there is sort of some of the configuration aspects of it. So the actual endpoint for this is going to be, There we go. It's training content bot API, which is my Azure website, /API/messages. That's where it's exposed from. And so what I'll do is I'll create a specific Microsoft application ID for this. It's going to generate an application ID for this, and I'm also going to need to generate a password. Okay, so let me generate a password first. Please don't steal my password. That's not going to be nice. Okay, so let's go back into my web.config. You can see that there's a space in here in this template for putting it in. I'm going to go grab my application ID as well. Paste that in here, and then I'm going to go type in the identifier. So now that's part of my application. And we're done essentially registering my bot sort of in a test capacity with the bot framework. So it's available for me to start working with. Okay, so in fact, I can go ahead and do this. Now, when I type hello, it's going to say it couldn't send. That's because I haven't actually published it with my configuration updates. So let's do that. You know, the bot framework has some really great tools just for testing and configuring and working with your bot, so it's really fantastic for that. Okay, let's try this again in my debugging tool. And so now I said hello, and it's going to return its hello world response, which is, hey, you sent hello, which was 5 characters. Now, one thing I want to do just to sort of make it a little bit more relevant is try to do a function here that, you know, will allow us to actually check inventory. So, like so, I'm going to replace this function with a new function. Find the right script to paste in. Okay, so what you can see here is there's a simple check here for what is our inventory of replacement tires. You know, again, not really magic here. It's just doing some simple string parsing, but you know, just to show you that, you know, you give you an idea of the kinds of things that you can do with bots. Alrighty. Okay, so now we've published it with that update. I can say, what is our inventory of replacement tires? It's going to give me a response. We only have 3. Oh, let me ask again. Oh, now we have 42. Well, okay, that's just because it's wired to a random number generator. But you can imagine how you could use this to connect to Microsoft Graph or to your data systems, and of course, do interesting things as well. Okay, now let's bring this into Microsoft Teams really quickly. So I'm going to come. Actually, let me come back and grab the application ID. So that C5F thing, come back into Microsoft Teams. And you know, while it's in a kind of this debugging capacity, you have to use the actual application ID to sort of send off chat so that you can test it. I could say, you know, and I can start a one-on-one conversation with my inventory checker and say hello, and it's going to give me the same kinds of responses that you saw, you know, in that debugging tool inside of the bot framework. Now we have 44 tires, which is just excellent. And then I'm going to come back to my team, and you can now also actually have conversations with bots and add them essentially like members inside of your Microsoft team. So let's just show you what that looks like. So I'm going to go back to, I'm going to go back to View Team. I'm going to go back to this Bots tab here. I'm going to go sideload a bot or tab. So let's go back to our bot package. Let me go back up to Windows Explorer, go into bot package. And I have a manifest.json here. And this manifest is really, you know, very similar to the one that we saw earlier for tabs. I'm basically just giving it the identifier of my bot. Let me update that really briefly, like so. I'm going to then send it to a zip file, which is what Teams expects for its extensions. You know, inventory bot. Okay, now let's go back into Teams, and I'm going to go add that package which describes my bot into my team. Okay, so now it's added. You can see the logo and its inventory checker too. And so now if I come back into this conversation and I say, hello at inventory bot, inventory checker 2, you know, what is our inventory of replacement tires? You can see that, you know, now it's integrated directly with my Teams channel as well. So that's just the fundamentals of building a bot that integrates with Teams as well. And you can see how, you know, with a combination of tabs and connectors and bots, you really have all the tools you need to sort of keep everyone in the loop and have great conversations that are hosted within Teams and really like spend a lot of your time in Teams and being super productive, focused on getting things done. Okay, so with that, we've actually covered you know, all the major ways that you can extend Teams. Again, the source code for this is on github.com/officedev/training-content. And it's in the Teams folder underneath that if you want to go find it. You know, play with the code, you know, extend your own applications, bring in your own web applications inside of Teams, and you'll have a great time. The other thing to point out, again, just one more time, is this is how you can work with Teams, but it really works in a lot of the same ways with Excel and with PowerPoint and with SharePoint. So bring your web application into anything inside of Office 365. Use Graph APIs to pull the data inside of your applications, and you can make your productivity applications so, so much better. Thank you very much for dropping into our training, and look forward to seeing what you build. Thanks.